First of all, I'd like to say thank you for the warm welcome from myself and Lorna to this place tonight. My main aim here tonight is to glorify the name of Jesus. My prayer is that the Spirit of a living God would rush through this place like a rushing wind. Before we get any further, I would just like to read from the scriptures. You don't even need to turn to it. It's a very well-known scripture. And you'll hear later on in the story why I've chosen this as well. It's Romans 6 and it's verse 23. I'm sure you all know it, or most of you know it anyway. And it simply says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." But just about 2 years ago, you would never find me standing in a place like this here. You probably would have found me, I just said to Lorna earlier on, that you would have probably found me in a pub somewhere around this country, either intoxicated by drink or using drugs. And I just thank God for what he's done in my life. And I say I'm here to proclaim the name of a living God. And if I was brought up in a Christian home, a loving father and a loving mother, faithfully taught the word of God from a very early age, just from this height. My dad was a preacher man, and he set up a home with another guy in our village at home. He set up a church. So I heard the word of God faithfully preached, as I said, every Sunday, brought along the church, Sunday school, meetings around the country. And there was a Thursday night meeting, and a children's meeting in that hall. And it was known as Mithra Christian Fellowship, but to my friends, it was a painter's hall. So from an early age, although we were brought in a loving home and a Christian home, I knew we were different. And growing up there, you want to fit in, as every young person wants to do. Fit in with your peers, they want to be different. But in a sense, we were different because of that reason. We were known as Holy Joes. And it, even though there was loving, and my dad and mum cared for us all, probably a real sense of you know, being different entered into my heart. And I didn't like that fact. And I didn't really understand anything about God. I was told about God, but I knew there was a God, and I'd seen him in all people. But just, I want to make this clear, that just because I was brought up in a Christian home didn't make me a child of God myself. You have to get a personal relationship with Jesus for yourself. And maybe somebody sitting here tonight there, you have parents who are Christians, but the Word of God tells me that doesn't make you a Christian as well. So probably I'd always love a sport, and primary school was a great years of my life, and we're very happy. But probably the trouble started in my life around about 11, 12 years of age. First of all, I went on to high school, and you know, probably you're starting to mature, and you know you have different thoughts in your head. You start to grow up and you become a man, a young man. But around about that time, my dad and mum had been called out of the butcher shop in Armagh, a very prosperous business. My dad was a very good businessman and a role model in that sense of doing business and doing things honorably before God. But that's the day I said God called him out, and I couldn't understand this. I thought, this God that I've heard so much about, that wants to prosper you, wants to bless you, was calling our family out of business, that probably one day, this is the way I was thinking, that one day would probably be passed down to either my brother or myself. And that's the way normal business works. You leave a legacy to your son or sons. But that couldn't happen, because at that stage, my dad was called out. So, to make matters worse, the proceeds of the butcher shop and the house that, you'll hear later on the story why I'm saying this, the house that he was left by his parents, my dad used that proceeds, the butcher shop and the house, to buy a castle, which maybe some of you even know today, Ballyard's Castle. I couldn't understand this. My mates would give me guff at school saying that your dad's lord of the manor and all this. And you know, they couldn't understand it, but even somebody in the family, I didn't understand it. I said I was about 12 years of age, and I got really a bitterness towards my father, a resentment. and a real sense of, you know, like hatred in a sense. I'm not afraid of saying that either, because God's changed that, but I may be honest and say what's happened. And but my older brother Paul was like, in my eyes, the blue-eyed boy of the family. He's 3 years older than me, and he was like, you could see it at a very early age. And my sister, who's 3 years younger, Ruth, she could see it at an early age as well. But I always like was maybe the black sheep of the family, but like I nearly rebelled in that tag, because I didn't want to be the same as them. I wanted to be something different. I didn't want to be a holy Joe. I want to be away from all this. So around about 15 years of age, through high school, I was a very rebellious student in high school, to say the least. And around about 15 years of age, I started drinking. I remember the first night I went out, not far from here, I landed in a Coast nightclub in Banbridge. I told my mum I was going to the cinema that night, but I came back in drunk. I remember, it maybe wasn't that night, but maybe a few nights after, mum found me at our back door of our house drunk, putting her own son to bed. You can imagine how a mother, Christian mother, how that felt. And I felt that my mum was judging me. They didn't understand me. You know, and I felt that if I had been a perfect son like my brother, that everything would be alright. So I felt, why could she not love me unconditionally? And that's why I felt, and she probably did love me unconditionally, but not that she didn't, but I felt that she didn't. So I left high school anyway, and I'll always love of sport, as I said, and I went on to make an education in that environment, the leisure environment. I became a personal trainer. And I went through Armagh College. I went to Fermanagh College to finish off what I had to do, education-wise. And that 2 years I spent with a godly person. A godly person took me into this home. Because my dad, I said to my dad, I need to go up there and skill to finish off my education. He says, well, I know a guy up there who would probably bring this house and not even charge you for digs. And I thought, as a student, I thought, if I don't have to pay for digs, let's give me more money for partying. I thought this was great. But little did I know, this man was a Christian man. And if I hadn't knew this man was a Christian, believe you me, at that stage of my life, I wouldn't have been in 5 yards of that man's house. But anyway, God had his hand on my life, even then. And I'll give credit to my testimony of that man, Brendan Jones. Maybe some of you have heard of this man. But the first time in my life I seen God in a person, it was so obvious. I'm not saying God wasn't in anybody in my life at that stage, or perhaps my parents, but I didn't want to see it. But first time in my life, as I said, I seen it in this man. And he was a great testimony. And why I'm saying that, folks, is because God brings people into your life, even if you're sitting in this meeting unsaved. God maybe has brought people in your past, or even these present days, into your life, Christian people, Christian influences, who God is using to bring you to him, and you're ignoring that call. And that's what I did. I ignored this call in my life at this stage. But I had that much respect for this man that I put an image of a Christian in front of him. And maybe there's somebody even doing that tonight. Putting an image, but you know yourself in your own heart that things aren't right with God in your life. But I left that man's house, and you hear in the Word of God says, you know, people stand in the gap for you, heads of attraction. Brendan was nearly like a head of attraction around my life. Because when I left that house, things started to get really bad in my life. But believe it or not, I started being really successful in my work, earning quite a bit of money. As I said, my parents have always taught me that. Good godly morals, to work hard. And I always wanted to go up the ladder and acquire a bit of money. And with that proceeds of the money, mainly it was spent in partying the weekends, on drugs and drink. And again, I'm not proud of saying that, but that's the truth. And with the drugs and the drink became, you know, up and down. With every high, there's a down. And my life got really unbalanced. And although I was earning quite a bit of money, things were very unbalanced. I became emotionally unbalanced as well. And a lot of hatred in my heart, a lot of unforgiveness, a lot of bitterness, a lot of anger in my heart. And that's like a cancer, folks. Maybe somebody can relate to that there. If you have done things in your heart, that's like a cancer that eats away at you. And you never get rid of it unless you give it to God. But that was eating away at me, and I was like so angry. And But I was in and out of home, and I'd rented various places around the country, and always lived like a flash Harry, if you want to say that. And lived a high lifestyle. And that's all I'm saying on that, but at this stage I went back into home. And I woke up the early hours of one, I think it was a Monday or Tuesday morning. And I thought to myself, I'll start my life all over again. I'll go somewhere that nobody knows me. And I'll start it all over fresh. I put all my belongings in my car. And not knowing where I was going, I was working, but I just left it. And I remember my dad was standing at the back door of our house. And he says, "Mark, where are you going?" And I couldn't even answer him, folks, because that's where my life was, because I didn't know where I was going. But I ended up in Derby, England. And purposely went there, and the feelings I had inside of me, I wanted my parents to feel them feelings, if that makes sense to you. So I didn't tell them where I was going, or where I ended up, for the guts in the almost 1 year, folks. And that's where Satan can get you, folks. Sin can take you farther than you want to go. And I remember renting a big pent apartment in Derby, England, and doing freelance work, which meant I only go into work when I needed to. And again, I was earning quite a bit of money, but you hear the story of the prodigal son. He goes into a foreign land and he spends all his living, his possessions with reckless living. And you imagine what I was doing them, they almost got to be here. But it all came to head one night in a flat in England, Derby. And I was that desperate and that needing help. I remember going into the bathroom and pulling the light on in the middle of the early hours of the morning, and I blasphemed God because I wanted really to get at God that sense, not knowing really what I was saying, but I wanted to get a reaction out of God, to nearly like trying to shake him, and that's what I was thinking, wake him up and try and come and rescue me. But I blasphemed God and I says, "God," I acted and blinded on him and says, "God, if you're not going to help me, Satan, you can take full control of my life." And it says in the Word of God tells me that there's power in your words. There's life and death in the power of your words, folks. You be careful how you speak to people or speak over yourself, because there's life and death in your words. I'll make that very clear. And they're not my words. That's God's infallible Word tells me that. And this in dark, my life wasn't bad, and this darkness really came over me. And I came back home. I remember ringing my mum. Spent all my money. Sold my car. My mum says, "Where are you?" And she had to even send the money of the flight home to get me home. Took me back into the house. And folks, I am not proud of saying what I'm going to say next, but I'm going to be honest. And it grieves me every time I do say it. But I started being violent in our house. Violent towards my dad. And abusive towards my mum with my words. And still, folks, it grieves me saying not even this. So many years, and folks, that was maybe 15 years ago, but it still grieves me. You be careful how you treat your parents. Because God says, you honour your parents, that all may go with you, and your days may be long. And maybe I think that a lot of it was wrong in my life, because I didn't dishonour my parents, even though my hurts. And I thank God, He's had my life, and He's had long suffering me, because my actions were bad. And I say that. But anyway, my mum says to me, "Mark, you're going to have to leave this house. I'm sure that would be hard to you, but there's mothers here tonight. So you're going to have to leave this house. The only option is you have, you go down to stay with your brother." And with that stage, my older brother had started a work that he still does to this day in RMY, near Ballymoney. And it's called the Christian Family Centre, to deal with people with addictions, with people with problems, especially people who are in families with problems. And I went and stayed with them. But I really only went down there for my parents' sake, to get them off my back. If you're going to try to seek help for somebody else, it's not going to work. You have to do it because you're desperate yourself. But anyway, I left RMI anyway, back in it. Left again. And believe it or not, I started getting myself back on my feet again. And I started really being prosperous in my career. And really doing well. And things actually became more settled in my life. And I thought, my life's moving on. Surely this is only a wee spell I'm going through, and things are okay again. And maybe that's the way Satan works. Satan may draw us back a wee while to lure you into a false sense of security. And maybe some of you can even relate to that tonight. Satan does that. He's cunning. Because he says in the Word of God, he goes about like a roaring lion, seeking who he will devour. And his chief end tonight, and you mightn't believe this, folks, but his chief end here tonight is to destroy your life. And if you're not saved, to bring you into hell. Because that's his chief aim, is to bring you there with him. Because he knows he's going there himself. And he wants to bring you there with him. But I started having groups of friends that weren't good people. But I'm not saying nothing against them people, because they're only flesh. And it says the Word of God, you're not fighting against flesh and blood. You're fighting against like powers and rulers of wickedness and Satan's kingdom. And I'm not going into the details, but you imagine what kind of life I was living. We were rebellious towards my parents. Remember, even at one stage in my life, that I wanted to see a plastic surgeon that would change my appearance so I wouldn't have to look like my father. I hated them that much. I remember him sitting in the same surgery, the consultation with me as a son. Can you imagine how the father felt doing that? That's God's love, folk, inside one person, that he was even willing to draw alongside of me. And it wasn't because of my father. My father's not special. It's because of God's love inside my father. Make that clear. Why you do good things and kind things is because God's love in you. And remember going through all that. Thank God that I didn't never went through it, by the way, as well. Make that clear. But thank God that his sovereign hand, that never happened. Neither of them things happened. And I left the enemy, and I ended up got a job in Monaghan, County Monaghan, in the Hillgrove Hotel. And you hear why I'm saying this now in a wee second. And I fell in with a girl that I thought loved me. Started off a friendship, and we started building a relationship. But then she told me she was engaged to be married to another fella. And it devastated me, her life. And you be careful, folks, who you're running around with. Because Satan has made threw people into your life. And I make this clear. People threw people into your life that you use them to destroy you. And again, this girl was just a tool of the devil. I'm not saying ill against her. It's just a tool of the devil. And I said to her, I can't see you. I'm not going with you. You're engaged. And then she convinced me that she'd split up with him. And I had a drink problem, and you know, she had to deal with it very gently, which was lies. I even found out recently that, and there's things have happened recently that Satan has just been was just right in the midst of it. But that relationship nearly lasted over a period of 6 years, and that girl, I'm not speaking ill against her, but she was operating in the occult. That I know now she was a witch. And you think maybe that these things don't happen today. I can tell you, folks, these things happen. Because I've seen that firsthand. And again, I'm not going to details, but I've seen the ruler of this of wickedness at firsthand. And you think Satan maybe is portrayed about out in the media as some wee puppet or some wee cartoon character with horns and a fork and he'll not harm you. Folks, he's real. He is real. And he wants it, I'll repeat this again, he wants you to destroy it. Because God's word tells me that. It's not my words. God's word tells me that. And I thank God that he has hand in my life. Because I was in scenarios that people haven't come out of. And the only thing I believe that saved me was the prayers of God's people, especially my father. Again, I'm not here to glorify my father, folks. But I just praise God for a man, a godly man like my father, and a godly woman like my mother, who prayed for me, who stood in the gap for me. Because I believe I wouldn't be standing this stage tonight without them prayers. And I give God all the glory for that. But actually, I pulled away from this girl, and there was things happened that God ordained that I didn't see it. I thought the love of life had left me. And she fooled me. fooled me, hook, line and sinker. But it was all pretense, it wasn't real. Because I loved the person that wasn't real. And that was pretense. And maybe some of you can relate to that there tonight. I don't know, but I believe God has me to tell you that. And I pulled away from it, and actually things started to settle down in my life again. And the evil forces were around me, the spirits were around me, sort of seemed to just come away from me. And things started settling down, and I started actually made a false profession as well. And folks, you beware of a false profession. My granny used to always say, a granny that I had never met really, my dad's mother, she said, if there's no change in your life, there's something strange. And the Word of God tells me, you will know them by your fruit. And why I'm saying that tonight, because I made some fancy words, some fancy commitment that weren't heartfelt. Remorse, not repentance, remorse. And I wasn't saved. And you be aware of that. I believe our country is full of false professions, folks. And I'm not being judgmental. Because if your actions don't clarify who you are, but clarify that you're in God's family, there's something wrong. There's something wrong. And I'm saying that there because I have direct experience of that, because there was no change in my life. I wanted maybe God for a few moments, but I wanted to go my own way. God says you can't serve two masters. And God has really had his hand in my life anyway, even throughout all that. And I remember going to an odd group of friends. Actually, it's amazing the way Satan works, guys. He's so cunning. He brought a person into my life that a lifelong friend that I hadn't met for years. A person in my life that I thought that a best mate. I thought it was a best mate. And again, I'm not putting him down, guys. I'm not. That's not my purpose here tonight. But I'm just saying, I'm just showing you the way Satan works. So cunningly. The prince of this earth. And he introduced me to these people that were operating in the occult. And maybe you think you don't even know what that means. That basically means you're worshipping Satan. And I'm not proud of saying this, but I have to be truthful before the Almighty God. And I remember we'd done drugs and stuff, and they would always pick the mick out of me, if that's the way you want to put it, or the way I'm putting it, that I was a son of a preacher man. And this really, I hated it. I couldn't, no matter what I'd done in my life, I couldn't wash this tag off. I hated it. I remember even one of the guys telling me, he should go home, we were doing drugs and we were rolling up, sniffing drugs. And one of the guys said to me, should go home to your dad, get his Bible, and so we'll roll up the pages of the Bible and sniff these drugs. And that's how Satan can use people, deceive people, deceive me even, in that period of my life. And I thank God that he had mercy and his long-suffering, that he's been merciful to me, that I was even going along with that. But we end up on Ibiza. A holiday in Ibiza, and the media portrays Ibiza. Maybe some of you have been there, or some of you know people are going there. The media portrays out that it's some big paradise. A big, you know, you can do whatever you want, plenty of girls, drink, drugs, whatever. Pleasure paradise. We landed at Ibiza on the Sunday afternoon. We did drugs the whole Sunday afternoon into the early hours of Monday morning. And I remember, I said earlier on in the story, there's pleasure in sin, guys. Early on years in my years in life, because the Word of God tells me there's a pleasure in sin, but only lasts for a season. I had pleasure earlier on years in my life, but that season of my life, I got no pleasure out of my sin. So I was walking the beaches of Ibiza that Monday afternoon in a desolate state, lonely, even though there was thousands of people around me. Dancing music all around me, I felt like the loneliest person in this world. And Satan gives you a wee bit of a rope, but he pulled it. He pulled you into a dark hole. And that's where I was that day, folks. I was in a dark, dark mess. Felt so, again, isolated, so alone, unloved, like nobody would love me. And the only way I could get these thoughts out of my head, I thought to myself, I'll do more drugs. And that's what I did. Done drugs all that Monday afternoon, into the early hours of Monday morning, and I said to my best mate, I can't do this no longer. I'm going back to the apartment. And they were, he was saying he was having the time of his life. He seemed like jumping about, and I was miserable. And even my best mate seen that in me, but he couldn't help me. Or even he didn't want to help me. People who said, or your friends, and maybe you can relate to that tonight, and you're living in sin, you think these are your friends. I tell you what, they're not your friends. They're not, they're puppets of the devil. But unknowns to me, thousands of miles back home, my dad knew he was on holiday, but he didn't know what mess was in. My dad's got involved in foundation ministries. Maybe some of you know that work. And they opened a place out the Portadown Road. And they were used to pray every Monday night. And my dad has told me since that he had a grieving in his spirit. And he told the rest of the guys. Folks, I get emotional saying this because it's real life. This is real life. And he told the guys, he says, we need to pray for Mark. I don't know why, we need to pray for Mark. Pray to the early hours of Monday or Tuesday morning, the exact time when I was in Betha. And folks, I was out in the balcony at one stage. I'm not proud of saying this, but I was considered suicide. Satan was in the back of my ear saying, Mark, you can throw yourself over this balcony. So you've been having anyway. Some false commitment. But anyway, the early hours Tuesday morning came, and I put my passport in my pocket, packed my suitcase, and I left. Went to the airport, and had my boarding pass, the girl at the airport. And she says, you're not due to come home for another 48 hours. I said, I don't care. If I have to swim home, and I meant it, I need to get home. She says to me, Mark, we're going to see what we can do for you. Come back to me in about half an hour or so. And folks, you make this what you want. You draw your own conclusions. I went back to that desk and they said they've got a cancellation for me. They got me home. And God got me home. Traveled the whole day. Back in the, and something just told me and said to me, go back home. Back home, Mark. Back to your parents. Walked into our yard, not knowing what to expect. Rapped into our door at home. And the first person that met me was my mum. Me and my mum had a very good relationship up to then. A lot of it due to my own actions. Consequence of sin. But the first time in my life, I sensed a mother's love. She brought me in, sat me down. My dad came home. He says, Mark, you're staying here. And I watched, especially my dad. My dad went through a bad spell of depression. Maybe some of you know that Norman Painter. Know that name. He went through a bad spell of depression, but he came out of it. And I watched him like a hawk for 8 months. And God spoke to me through him. And my dad says an evangelist, does missions all around the country. He led in his heart to put a tent mission up beside us in our own field with a guy called Robert Youth. And I went that Sunday afternoon probably more out of respect for what my dad had done me for in the previous months, not wanting to hear from God. And maybe you're sitting in this meeting tonight not even thinking you're here for, you know, to God to speak to you. But God has you here tonight, folks. I believe in my spirit. There's people, or one person maybe, or a few people, they're here tonight. And I don't know why they're here. God's speaking to you even this moment. The Spirit of God is speaking to you. And that's what happened that Sunday afternoon. I came out of that tent, and for the first time that I know now was conviction of sins in my life. I spent, the meetings went on nearly for a month. I spent running to them meetings, the nights that I get, because a lot of my work involved nighttime work, but I was running to meetings when I could get. Before, I was running away from God. So that shows you how, you know, the difference. Thursday morning came, the last Thursday of the mission. And I woke up, went out into the garage that Dad would give me, and I'd done a boot camp song that morning, got back into the house. It was around 8 o'clock, and there was no noise in our house. And I remember, a thought came into my head about the rapture. So I remember seeing a video, years going back, in the lifeboat, in the Gannon. And maybe somebody's heard this, or seen this. The Thief in the Night. And basically, this movie describes the Lord's return. Portrays the Lord's return. I thought the Lord had come back that morning. And a fear that I can never put into words, even to this day, came over me. And I had to even go over to the radio and switch it on. Because I knew, and I was even trembling, turning the radio on. Because I knew if the Lord had come back, it would be all over the news. And I thank the Lord he didn't come back that Thursday morning. But I knew instantly there, I need to get my life right with God. And I determined that day that I wasn't going to put my head in the pillow that night until I did that. Spent the whole day under conviction. Phoned my dad. My dad came home. This big preacher man that had seen an operation, heard about people getting saved through him, whatever, leading people to the Lord. He came back home and I told him the story. He only said to me, "Mark, you know enough now." And he prayed with me and left. You might say that's harsh, but God had to do the work himself, not through my dad. Because God had to confirm him and himself speak to me. Convince me that it was him speaking, not my dad. I remember putting my Bible underneath my arm at 5:30 in the evening. Right? I thought to myself, well, if God's still speaking, he can speak to me, I'll go out to the tent. And that's what I was thinking. That may sound simplistic, but that's what I was thinking. Before I got to the tent, my dad, the porta cabin that he uses for all the missions, was sitting in the field as a prayer hut. And that verse of scripture that I read out the night there was on the side of it. And bear in mind, folks, before that mission started, I helped my dad put that hall up. I walked past that sign continuously and not even paid attention to it. But if God had come down himself that exact moment in person, it wouldn't have been any more clear to me. God was saying to me, "Mark, your sin, your weight of your sin is going to get you into hell, but this day I can give you eternal life." I tore in my heels, got in my car, trying to run away again. So I'm a stubborn person by nature. Maybe you are too. And I drove down the road, and the sign that was advertising the meetings, that I actually helped my dad put the sign on the road. I drove past that sign every day. And folks, I'm not trying to exaggerate the story, but I did. Never paying remarks to the sign, or even not there put it out. And the verse of scripture said, "Prepare to meet thy God." I was trembling, folks. Trembling. Under the convictions of my sins. Couldn't even stay the car. Come back in into the drive. Remember, I had two clients that night for personal training, and I was in the gym gear, 8:30. Meeting was almost over. And Satan was saying to me, "Mark, you've missed it now. You can't go into the meeting." I was running that meeting, folks, in my gym gear. And all of us here probably like to dress up. I didn't care. Didn't care if it was in my gym gear or not. I wanted to do business with God. I was that desperate. I said earlier in my story that I was remorseful for my sin. This day in my life, I was repentant. Meeting was over anyway. Robert and his son Mark, who very similar testimony to myself, came over and started witness to me and trying to talk to me. And you asked me, how do you speak to God? Well, I can tell you, folks, the Word of God tells me you speak through your heart. Open your heart to God. And that's what I did that night. I opened my heart right up to God. And I says, "Lord," I put my hand up, I said, "Lord, I need your help here. I'm sorry for my sin." And I can't really remember saying this, but Mark said, I still in my prayer, he says, "It doesn't take fancy words to save you." I said, "Lord, let your blood wash over my life." And that exact moment, folks, God saved me. Amen. His blood that washes whiter than the snow cleansed over all my sin. And it says, like the Word of God says, he takes you out of the miry clay and he sets you upon the rock, and the rock Christ Jesus. And that's what God did to me that night. The Father, Heavenly God, through Jesus, His Son, pulled me out of the gutter. That was the 18th of June, 05. Out of the gutter that night and set my feet on higher ground. And I can tell you folks, that was about 20 months ago, my life has been transformed. I'm not glorifying my own name. I'm just saying here tonight, if you're sitting in this meeting tonight and you think you're a rotten sinner and there's no hope for you, I can tell you there's hope. Because God has done it for me and has changed my life. Changed my life completely, right round. My dreams, the things that I've been dreaming for all my life, that I have tried to attain by myself, God is starting to give me these things. I'm not saying that everybody's story is different, but God has blessed my life. And God will bless your life if you give your life to Him. If you give your life to God, God will not only save you and take you out of a pit. Maybe you're sitting in this meeting tonight and you think that you've never lived this life. The Word of God tells me that you think you're righteous. You think you don't need God's help because you're living a good life. Well, God tells me your righteousness are like filthy rags. Maybe I'm speaking to someone here tonight. God has transformed my life, as I was saying. That same house that my dad used to buy Body Hours class, I remember telling my dad that if I ever got my hands in that place, I'd make it into a nightclub. And I meant it, folks. And God has changed my heart in that. So I remember driving that place today with Lorna. I'm wanting to be part of God's work, not be following Satan's work. And that's why God changed your life, folks. But that mansion was that same house that Dad used to buy Bally Arse Castle, and the dad and my mum, that was left for him by his own parents. I bought it back. And I'm living it. I'm not holding that back, because that's real, folks. I started a business in that house. I started a very prosperous business in that house. And God is really, last 21, I read the Word of God now, folks. That and I can do this for you as well. That let God maybe shine a torch in the Word of God. That He speaks to you directly as your Heavenly Father. If you give your life to Him, your Heavenly Father not only saves you and just lets you alone, He speaks to you every day. And my best friend now is Jesus. You imagine, folks, I was running away from Him. But my best friend is Jesus. And I urge you tonight, if you're holding back, give in. Because God gives you a free will, folks, to decide this. He is that loving. Here tonight that He has given you free will to decide to choose them or reject them. He doesn't force you into choosing them. That's your choice. Free will. But I can tell you, if you choose Him, He will give you heaven, which is the most important thing of all, eternal life. But He bless your life abundantly in this earth. And that's what He's done. God has got me a girl as well. So praise God for that as well. And God is, and I tell you what, I was chasing so many things in my life, my own ways. But God's starting to bring these things and people into my life. And I tell you what, God has a hope for me. You know why I know that? Because the Word of God tells me. I stand on this truth day by day. And folks, I am not perfect. I make mistakes like all of us do. But I am a sinner, saved by grace. And I tell you what, for years I was in chains of bitterness, of resentment, hatred, and various other things. God has broken them chains. He's starting to heal relationships in my family. I remember my dad now, which I hated before, there's not a day goes by that I don't speak to him, either in person or by phone. Lauren and myself went out today, spoke to my mum. God's starting to heal all them folks. That's real. I never felt the love of parents, but I'm feeling it now. I'm 36 years of age. I'm not holding that back, folks. I'm proud of saying that. But God, and you Satan maybe in your ear tonight saying that there's no hope for you. He can't heal you. You're a lost cause. I can tell you, you're not. As long as there's breath in your body, it's not a lost cause. And I urge you to give your life to God here tonight. And I pray that God has used me as a vessel to speak to you through His Word. Because it's not my work. Folks, I can't even create an anxious thought. None of us can. But God promises that His word will not return void. So I'd just like to close the meeting in prayer.